Okay, we are back as the executive committee, and we are meeting here at the Palm Tran Planning Agency. It's 2 p.m. Palm Beach, okay. Palm Beach Transportation Planning Agency. I don't know why it doesn't say Palm Beach County Transportation Planning Agency, but neither here nor there. It's Thursday, July 14th. It's about 2 o'clock, and I'd like to ask for a roll call.
Joelle Flores.
Present.
Maria Marino.
Here.
Michael Napoleon.
Here.
Chelsea Reed.
Here.
Robert Weinroth.
Here.
We have a quorum in person, Mr. Chair.
All right. And I'm just going to go to the formality of asking my colleagues if they have any objection to Mr. Napoleon joining us virtually. Seeing no objection, Michael, you are part of our five-member committee. Thank you for joining us virtually. Okay. Several things. Obviously, our most important task today will be to interview the three people on our shortlist and make some decisions, hopefully, to recommend to our board. Our charge is pretty simple. I'm reading now from the TPA resolution 2021-11. Meet as necessary to facilitate the process of hiring a new executive director, including but not limited to refining the job profile, evaluating candidates, recommending a candidate, negotiating an employment agreement for board consideration, and recommending an interim director for the board consideration, and finally undertaking other tasks as may be assigned by the governing board. So today we are charged with reviewing the three candidates. Actually, we're not confined to those three candidates. It was some other candidate you wanted to bring to the table, they certainly would be in order, but I think that these three candidates are the ones that have been put on the short list by our consultant Slavin, and I think that they are the ones that we are going to pay the most attention to today. We schedule three interviews. The first one will be at 2:15. The second one will be at 2:45. The second one being our interim director. While she is in the building, I think that we have opted to have her stay virtual just so that there is no belief that she has some sort of leg up over the two candidates by being here in person. Our third candidate will be interviewed by us at 3:15. After that period of time, I would assume that we as a committee will have some discussions, hopefully can come to an agreement as to the candidate we want to recommend, and then make decisions how we want to then carry forward as far as the negotiation with that candidate. I also want to call your attention to a memo that was drafted by Weiss Sirota dated July 8th, 2022. Merely pointing out things that you shouldn't ask a candidate. So I think most of us know that there are things that you're probably not wanting to ask, things like age and other kind of areas that probably do not weigh into our consideration of a candidate's qualifications for the spot. If you need a copy of that memo, I can have it. Do you want to get a copy?
Okay. We send it to print and my staff's going to bring it.
Okay, very good. We'll get you a copy of it. But there was really nothing surprising on there. And I think anybody who has ever interviewed candidates knows basically what you cannot really address. That being said, I think it's time to go to general comments. And I'm going to ask if we have anybody online that's seeking to make a general comment.
I see no hands raised at this time.
Okay, very good. Is there anybody on the committee, including Ms. Napoleon? Do you have any comments you'd like to make at this point?
I do not.
Okay, very good. And I see Vice Chair.
I just want to thank Mayor Flores for taking the time to interview the candidates with Slavin. We appreciate your help.
Yep, and we are certainly very happy to have whittled it down to three on a short list. All right, with that being said, We're going to move on to make a motion to approve the meeting minutes for June 6, 2022. May I have a motion? I have a motion by Vice Chair and Mayor Flores a second. All in favor, all opposed, show that is being approved 5-0. Okay, now it is a little before, let me get my handy dandy Apple phone out here, which has the official time of the world, 2:10. So we have 5 minutes until the appointed time. And I did want to mention that Mr. Blackshear has mentioned there's a storm in his area. So if he does get cut off, he will make whatever attempt to get reconnected. If we get into that situation, we certainly could start Ms. Nielsen's interview early. She's obviously on call, and we could then circle back with Mr. Blackshear if necessary. Before we start our interview, is there any conversation about issues that you would like to see that we address?
Mr. Chairman?
Mayor, yes.
I did want to ask a question before we start with the interview with Ronnie Blackshear. When we did the initial interview, he had objected to doing a credit check. Just wanted to get an update if that was submitted.
Well, I'm going to tell you what item 5 on our list of no-nos is that it is not acceptable to inquire into the credit background of an individual during an interview unless the credit worthiness of the individual is somehow directly job related. So I'm, yes, Mr. Yes, our attorney is making a request to speak. Paul?
Yeah, just simply to let you know that I'm here and I'll be available to help you go through this at any point that you need. Probably if you're able to agree on somebody that you want to appoint today, I'll be present, obviously, to help you with the employment agreement.
All right. Just would you clarify for us, Paul, since you're there, with respect to the credit inquiry, Mayor Flores was inquiring whether the fact that one of our applicants did not want to do a credit check early on in this process, if that is something that is an issue that we should either talk about or put into the consideration of the employment.
There, it is something for consideration in the employment, Mr. Chairman, and that's a good point that's been raised. The reason that it is because the executive director does have certain control over finances for the agency on a day-to-day basis.
So it is your position as our counsel that the creditworthiness of an individual is directly job-related?
In this case, yes.
Okay, very good. Then to return now to Mayor Flores's inquiry with respect to the creditworthiness of the first applicant, are you saying that he had not wanted to submit to a credit check?
That's correct. At the time of the interview, he had not submitted the background, the credit check. I questioned the candidate at that point as to why. Considering he's going to be overseeing a budget here, he said that he would be willing to. So I guess my question is more of an update from Mr. Slavin if that was submitted, if he did complete that.
Okay. Part Mr. Slavin, are you online?
And Bob, you should be able to unmute. We do have him as a panelist, but I'm sorry, as just a general attendee, but he should be able to connect.
Mr. Slavin, can you unmute?
I see you're unmuted on our end, Bob. Can you say something, please?
All right, we're going to move on. It's almost 2:15. Commissioner Marino, we were recognized.
I could understand why someone may not want the credit check done previous. I mean, every time you get your credit pulled, your credit, you know, your scores goes down. So I would say, I would venture to say that if Mr. Blackshear was the finalist, this would not be a discussion.
All right. So I guess the question is, if we made the decision to invite this applicant to engage in a negotiation contract. For contract, that would be a precondition to that. Is that okay with you, Mayor? That's fine
with me. It's fine with me. I just wanted to make sure that we took that into consideration, knowing that that individual did not. At that time, he said he was going to submit the paperwork, so it, by this time it could actually be done. I don't know.
All right, Mr. Slavin, are you on yet? All right, well.
And I think he had muted again because he was echoing, so.
I just unmuted again. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you, Bob. Yes. So can you address the issue that Mayor has brought up?
Mayor is right that he raised a concern about that. He has complied with the requirement, and we did check his credit. It's fine. His concern wasn't that. His concern was he thought that by checking the credit, it was diminish his credit score. The reality is that does not happen unless you're checking credit to apply for credit. He was for employment purposes, it does not affect the credit score. But we informed him of that, and he was okay with it. So we have checked his credit.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Slavin. So you're telling us that the applicant did submit to the credit check for this position, and there was no issue with that?
Yes, he has good credit as well as do the other two.
Very good. Thank you. Okay. Commissioner, do you have any other points that you want to make? All right. It's now 2:15. Would you please put Mr. Blackshear as a panelist now?
Yes. And it does just take a minute, so if you could bear with us, thank you.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you, but try it. Let's see if we can turn up the volume. Can you give me a count to five, please?
One. 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, very good, Mr. Blackshear. Thank you very much. And we thank you very much for your interest in this position. We are very happy to see that you are one of the three candidates that we're going to be interviewing today. I'm the chair. My name is Robert Weinroth. I'm also the mayor of Palm Beach County. And with me today is Mayor Chelsea Reed. She's my vice chair. Also Commissioner, Palm Beach County Commissioner Maria Sachs. I'm sorry, darn, you know, she's never going to speak to me again. Commissioner Maria Marino, if you brought a golf club with you, I wouldn't have this problem. Mayor Joel Flores from the city of Green Acres, and Councilman Michael Napoleone from the good city of Wellington. So we are the five people have been asked by the board to make a recommendation as to the future executive director. And we thank you for being part of that process. What I'd like to do now is offer you the next 5 to 7 minutes to make a presentation to us about your background, about why you'd like to be considered for this position. And we do have a copy of your resume in front of us if you should want to refer to that.
Great. Thank you for the opportunity. First and foremost, thank you for the opportunity to interview with you. I think it's a great honor to do so. It affords me the opportunity to possibly come back to the place where I started my career. I started under the leadership of Randy Whitfield when I back several decades ago. So I do appreciate it. My name is Ronnie Blackshear, and I possess over 25 years of experience working with various public boards, commissions, committees, and elected officials. I work with several MPOs throughout the state. Also have worked with several county departments too. So I've gained a vast knowledge of different things with regards to not only just transportation planning, but land use planning, current planning, impact fees, development agreements, comprehensive plans. I've pretty much done every aspect of planning that you can imagine. I originally came from I was originally born in Palm Beach County. I was born and raised there. Went to Forest Hill High School. Received my bachelor's science degree, a double major in computer science and urban planning studies from Ball State University. Went on to obtain my law degree from Barry University in Orlando, Florida. One of the things that I've done that I think it's helpful for me, and it's made me a very good candidate for different positions and various degrees I have, it's the diversification of my employment that I've obtained and the experience that I've gotten and the knowledge and the education that I've pursued has given me the opportunity to be a valuable asset to every place I've been so far. Like I said, I have over 25 years of experience working with various public boards. I've earned also have a certified public manager. I earned that from Florida State University. And I believe that my leadership abilities is something that could move forward and actually move Palm Beach County and the TPA forward in achieving its goals and objectives, making Palm Beach County one of the best, not only in the state of Florida, but one of the best in the nation as far as having an efficient multimodal transportation system.
Thank you very much. I'm going to cut you off there, so it gives us some time to ask you a few questions.
Yes, sir.
My first question, and then I'm going to go to my colleagues, is what's the population of the POSCO Metropolitan Planning Organization? How many people are in that service area?
The population of POSCO is about 550,000 right now.
Mm-hmm.
The prior one I worked with, Polk County, the population is about 760, I believe, right now. So. Okay. And I, prior to that, of course, Hillsborough, I worked with the Hillsborough MPO, and of course, that's around 1.5.
Very good.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Commissioner Marino, you were recognized. You're fine? Okay. I'm going to go around the table, and just for ease, I'm going to go to Commissioner Napoleon first. Do you have a question for our applicant?
I do. Hi, Mr. Blatcher. Thanks for coming in today. Looking at your resume, my first question is, what is your current employment and why did you only spend 6 months as the executive director at POSCO?
Sure. My current employment is that I'm a consultant. I do consultant business. And the reason why I was at POSCO, prior to coming to POSCO, I was with Polk County. I was long range planning director there for about 6+ years. And I live in POSCO, but was traveling to Polk. So one of the things that and the Polk County experience was a great experience, but you know, after a while, you begin to look at how things are and just move forward and see how your career goes. And I was beginning to get a lot of interest, not only from in-state and out-of-state applicants. And I was there for 6+ years. I was traveling back and forth. I would budget 2+ hours each way to travel to Polk to job. Like I said, it was still a great experience. POSCO was one of the ones that was kind of interested in me. I ended up. Right before I left Polk County, I was looking at offers and just interviewing both in-state and out-of-state. It occurred, I left Polk County in February of 2020. And of course, you know what happened shortly thereafter. The pandemic hit, everything basically shut down. I got to POSCO. It was an option that I had. I went there to become their executive MPO director. Come to find out there was a lot of problems, issues that was going on. I kind of knew some of the things, but I wasn't expecting what I found. They were 18 months behind in billing. They were utilizing county personnel to do MPO planning things. So it was just kind of a situation where, you know, I had to straighten things out. And so for the first 6 months, that's what I was doing. I basically was doing that for 6 months. Come to find out the POSCO being a hosted MPO, their county administration had some ties, or they basically wanted to kind of direct the director. And one of the things that I told them, even in their staff services agreement, is that the MPOs are independent agencies. Even though you're a hosted agency, I report to the board, and the board is the one that, you know, leads us. And one of the things that POSCO was doing was that they were doing it even before I got there. They were kind of, you know, just kind of, you know, interjecting their views and stuff. And it got to the point where, you know, we just had to come to an agreement where it was just not feasible for both of us. I was, the board was fine with me. I straightened out their financial difficulties prior to me leaving, working with our local DOT District 7 and also the state. They knew about it. Even the feds knew about what was happening. Funds were not being accounted for. They were utilizing, like I said, county employees to do stuff. We had development service techs were actually doing the budget, and that's not good. The final thing is that what I'm about is I'm about integrity. I'm about doing the right thing. And with me being there for 6 months, just to let you know how things were, in the 10-year period, I was the seventh director in 10 years. So it wasn't certainly not a good situation, but I did, you know, thank them for my time being there and move forward and, you know, look for other opportunities.
Just to clarify, your separation from Pasco was voluntary, not involuntary?
Yes, it was voluntary. It was a split between, we decided to part ways due to the direction, you know, I had trying to get their MPO in one direction, their county administration wanted to go in another. And that's not how an MPO works, even though if you're still hosted, you have to, you know, look at, it's the board that, you know, controls the MPO and how things are, but they wanted to, you know, kind of, you know, play up to, you know, being a little bit more a part of what an MPO is, and that's not how things work.
Very good. Thank you. Mayor Flores, you have obviously had a conversation with Mr. Blackshear before, but do you have any new questions?
I do. It's been almost 2 years that you've been consulting and working on your own. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience? It's different. You know, we have a staff here of what, 11, 12 individuals. But you've been working solo at your last leadership position. You were there about 6 months. So I guess my question is, what have you been up to? What kind of projects have you been working on during this last 2 years?
The projects I've been working on is working with some of our cities and even working with counties, keeping myself abreast of the things that are happening, not only in transportation planning, but other areas that I've been, I've worked in the past. And like I said, with Pasco, I was with, I had five people under me on their long range planning at Polk County. It was 12 individuals. I had direct and indirect reports. Currently, I, like I said, I work on projects now. I have a couple of things that I'm in the works now, mainly on the county side, writing ordinances, things of that nature with my background, you know, having a law degree in planning. So I'm able to I even converse with other transportation planners, providing advice and information to them as they work on things. So I've been kept abreast. And just to let you know that when I was with Hillsborough working in the county department, I was about 10 years away from MPO before going to Polk County. So everything that I do, like I said, everything is up to speed, up to par. It's just like it's like riding a bicycle. I got on board, hit the ground running. I don't see any problems with coming to the Palm Beach TPA, hitting the ground running and doing exactly what's needed to be done in order to move us forward.
Very good, thank you. Okay, Mayor Reed.
Good afternoon, thank you so much for joining us. I'm glad that there haven't been any storms getting in the way so that we can continue this conversation. So
we're actually passed by. So.
Oh, good, okay, great. Well, you know, we're down here and you know your South Florida weather here too. So luckily we're all right here too.
Yes, ma'am.
So as I'm sure you know, our TPA manages billions of dollars and is here to assist with millions of residents. So it's a really critical leadership position. So as the leader of a transportation planning agency, where would you take us? What is your vision as to what would happen next?
Well, yeah, I think your vision will be what is embodied in your strategic plan. I mean, I've read some of the things that you have. You want to grow, and if you want to be able to accommodate the growth that's coming. Next 25 years, you're looking at about 300 plus thousand new residents that are coming into town. You're like any other area, and it doesn't matter if you're large or small, they pretty much have a lot of the same concepts, meaning that they want to be able to balance growth with the characteristics of the communities. And with Palm Beach County, like I said, I've worked there before. You have about 30, nearly 40 municipalities. They're all different, but they all have unique characteristics. Growth is coming to the county, whether it's unincorporated or within the cities. I want to be able to take you guys to the point where you are providing an efficient multimodal transportation system that connects to the people, serve the traditionally underserved, make sure that they're accounted for, provide a strong team environment with the employees that I'm looking at to take part in the decision-making process as we move forward, learn how things are going and moving forward for each of the teams that I'll be working with in each of the cities, getting out to learn a little bit more about it. I come home a lot, so I know a lot of things that are happening there. I know how things are moving forward. So I feel that I bring a unique and a diverse background and experience in order to move forward. I get to different groups. I've spoken for the feds. The feds know me. The ones that are working in the area, the state knows me, central office, some of the DOTs, District 1, District 7. And I'm not sure if people are still in District 4 at this time, but like I said, I work there too. So I bring a concept of cohesiveness, collaboration to bring everyone forward, to move us to the point where we want to have the ability to execute our strategic plan, make sure that we're looking at updating that strategic plan on an ongoing basis, knowing what our constituents want. And the thing is, though, I look at it this way. I serve at the pleasure of your board, but I represent the people of Palm Beach County. So doing that, they're important. I need to know exactly what they want. Staff will make sure that we keep in touch with them, provide it with all of the different communications that we have, and provide the best that we can to provide an efficient multimodal transportation system working with our partners at the state and federal level and local.
Thank you.
Commissioner Marino.
Mr. Blackshear, thank you for joining us today. I am County Commissioner Maria Marino, same as Dan Marino. I don't know why Mr. Weinroth gets it wrong all the time. We've known each other for half a dozen years, so I'm getting my dig in at Bob right now. And if he does it one more time, I'm going to slap him. I'm literally going to get up and walk across the room and slap him. A little
big thing to put my money in.
So while it may not seem like I'm a serious person, I am a very serious person, and this is a very serious job, and it's a far-reaching job. And yes, we have 39 municipalities, and yes, we're 1.6 million people, and yes, we have thousands of miles of roadway networks. But one of the things that's on the horizon for us is possibly a transportation surtax. Are you familiar with that? And have you ever done a ballot initiative?
Well, I've worked in conjunction with, when I was with Hillsborough, we were actually working on a 1 cent sales tax. So yeah, I've gone through certain variations with that when I was in Hillsborough County. Even our sister county, Pinellas County, was kind of going through it, and that failed. We've looked at it even when I was at Polk County, and I know that there was talk just in the time I was there and even before then, because, you know, all the appeals in the area generally talk how things are. Orlando, I've talked with them, and being with Polk, you know, we were between two major areas, Tampa and Orlando. So I've worked on the initiatives in trying to successfully, you know, move forward with that. I left Hillsborough before they initiated their 1 cent sales tax. And I know that there's been some issues going back and forth, and I'm not sure how, I haven't kept up on it, you know, as to how things are going, but I try to do that. But yeah, I've worked with initiatives, worked with the different representatives of the cities, the state, how things are and how what's needed to move things forward. And I've been reading about what is being done with the Palm Beach TPA, and I'm ready and eager to move forward and to find out more about it, and, you know, to provide my skills and expertise and also the skills of our staff in order to make that happen.
Our previous executive director was actually leading the charge for this. And obviously, it being that we are represented by both county and municipalities on this board, there is always a question of as to who would be managing the program if, in fact, it came to pass. Do you see this as something that would fall under the TPA's jurisdiction?
Well, it could possibly be. It could. We could be the overseers of it. It depends on how the municipalities and the county and even the TPA, how you want to deal with it, because you know you generally are represented on the TPA board. And if it's that's the way that it has to be, or that's the way we're looking at being, then so be it, and we'll move forward in that direction.
Excuse me. And that would probably, sorry.
You want a drink?
No problem.
No, I'm good. I got some cold tea. Or lukewarm. Anyway, just a couple of other questions.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, I've got seven here and I'm trying to figure out how to ask them all, and I don't have enough time to do that. So, and you may have already answered this, but I'm asking it again. What do you see as our challenges for the TPA here in Palm Beach County?
Well, I think your challenge is to strike a balance between the growth that's already there, the people that are coming in. We know Florida is the hotbed of new residents coming in, and even the future growth, the next 20, 25 years. The challenges is to have a cohesive system of, we have Brightline as our potential high-speed rail right now that's actually running, you know, very well, heading up to Orlando and then possibly even going over to the Tampa, St. Pete area. You have Tri-Rail, you have a bus system that has grown tremendously since the time I've been there. You have last mile services like Uber and Lyft. And then you have businesses are coming in. And one of the things that I look at that I think is the link and the key that even the state and the feds are looking at is the, what I consider is the, to enhance, to be able to balance the growth and also make the county grow in such a manner that they could manage that growth, is that link between land use and transportation. And that's one of the things I did when I was with Polk, but that is the key to economic growth and economic development and just being able to provide the citizens with the things that we need. And you do that by providing, going through studies or projects and looking at conducting those in traditionally or in communities and assessing the results from those studies with the land use patterns to cater or tailor transportation infrastructure investments to each community. Each community is different. One of the things I bring is that it's not just transportation planning. Like I said, I've worked in comprehensive planning. I've worked in land use planning. And I know the link between land use and transportation and how important it is. And that's the growth, and that's the key, is to provide an efficient multimodal system. And doing that, you have, like you said, you have 39 municipalities. Everyone is different. So it's important to provide the data, and that's how important data is. Data providers gives us the way to find out how useful it is. And if you fail to assess data through analysis, you're going to end up with the wrong conclusion. So we need to make sure that as we get data and we actually get information from each of the cities, knowing what's going on, knowing what the county is, and knowing how the layout of our system is, multimodal for cars, buses, trains, trolleys, what have you, we need to be able to meld those together, provide it with the data that we have, knowing that we assess that data accurately, utilizing that data, because it's going to provide information where, say, a certain community may need additional sidewalks or bike paths, where another one may need intersection improvements. So things are differently depending on the data that's being utilized, whether it's economic data, transportation affected data. So those things are important in order for us to move forward in the right direction and provide the information. And that's a challenge. And that's something that's always an ongoing thing that we have to focus on, provide for, and be able to change out of dime when we need to. And also keep our elected officials, you as a board, informed, because things change. So when a project changes, we need to know. And things, like I've told my staff, and I even told other boards, and when they've asked me the question, is that you need to know from the beginning, the planning stage to the construction stage, the project scope. You need to know clearly what's going on. If there's any change to the project, you need communication needs to stay the same from beginning to end. If there's any change in the project, whether it be whatever stage, because you know things come up, environmental issues come up, especially on these state and federal projects. You need to know exactly what it is. If there's any issues that come up, any conflicts and things, those things need to be addressed as soon as possible and be as transparent as possible so we can keep moving forward. If there's any pluses that change within, say, a project scope where someone we need to know it at a board meeting, I'll make sure staff is on par and knowing what's going on, they're sufficient and competent enough to provide an update. Myself or staff could be able to do that. So those changes are always going. And one of the things I tell staff is that we need to be able to provide information to our board at any point when we know anything. We don't come to a board and say, well, we don't know, or come up. One thing I can't stand with staff is that you don't come to a board and just make up something or think that you know it. If we don't know it, staff will know that, say that Madam Chair, Chairman, we don't know the answer right now, but we will get to that for you. If we can do it in the period of when the meeting is going on, we'll do that. If we can't, we'll provide that to you at the next board meeting. There's no makeup here. There's always providing the staff, because you need the information. You need the sufficient information based on competent research to provide a competent answer. Because once we do that, then it's up to you to make the decision. I tell staff also is that if there's decisions that's made, if you don't like it, it's not our job to say that we don't like something or don't agree with it. Our job is to provide our board with the most sufficient and competent information based on extensive research that we can give them to make a competent decision on it. And they'll do so. You guys will do so.
And thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to cut you off at that answer. I'm going to ask you two more questions, and we're going to keep the answers brief, even though you could probably speak on them for a long time.
Yes,
one is the dynamic of a board like this one with 21 elected individuals who come on and off the board with respect to their home assignments and their elections and term limits means that you are continually seeing people up here who are not necessarily transportation savvy. How do you bring your board up to speed as far as understanding the dynamics of this planning board and the responsibilities to put together the planning documents that are ultimately used by the government to distribute money?
Well, the one thing that I've utilized in the past, and I'm not sure if you guys have utilized it, is that I've utilized an onboarding process. So whenever there's an election cycle, whenever there's changes, we need to have a process or in place an onboard policy or process in order to get our members up to speed, newer members, provide them with access to myself or my deputy directors, in order to provide that information, have a packet ready, send that information out, whether it's our handbooks, our policies, our everything that we need in order to get those members up to speed as soon as possible. Invite those members into our agency and even meet with them one-on-one to get them up to speed and provide them with the necessary information in order to, for them to move forward so they'll be able to do so. And we'll do that at every cycle and every time there's a change.
We have a very dynamic county here. We have 1,500,000 people and growing very quickly. We have needs. The needs are to support mobility. The needs are to build out a highway system. And the needs are to support public transportation. How do you balance those needs?
Well, you balance those needs with a strong team environment. You balance those needs by having a competent and efficient transportation team that's competent and efficient in those different aspects. We have a transit team. We'll have a transportation disadvantage team. We'll have those who work on every aspect of transportation. Allowing that team, building a strong team, and allowing that team to take part in the decision-making process and empowering that team with accountability. Empowering the team with the power to make decisions that requires accountability in completing the task. Empowering employees to do so and make decisions offers us staff to perform at a high level and builds mutual trust, respect, and cooperation. We keep in contact with our board to let them know exactly what's going on. Me being the leadership, leadership is about influence and ability to obtain followers. meaning owning up to the responsibility. Like you said, there's a lot of stuff going on. Even if it's not my responsibility, the leader owns up to that responsibility, even when they're not to blame. You make the corrections what you need to.
Mr. Blackshear, we thank you very much for your time today. We are at a hard stop at 2:45, so we've hit that point. I think that we have had an opportunity to hear you and hear your qualifications for this job, and you're certainly very qualified. So we thank you very much for taking the time to visit with us today, and we will, as I'm sure you're going to be watching, have a conversation about this after we have discussed this now with the next two candidates and then yourself. So thank you again for participating in this.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Margie, would you make a change now and put Ms. Nielsen on as our panelist?
Are we doing one question for each of us?
No, I mean, you can go more. I mean, we have, no, I mean, look. The only constraint we have is that we have these interviews scheduled. This one's 2:45, and the next one, they'll be expecting 3:15. I mean, we can delay it.
I think we need to say give each person the same amount of time, not more, not less.
Yeah, and I think that'll work. All right, Ms. Nielsen, we see you, and I assume you can hear us.
I can hear you. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon. All right, I'm going to reiterate some of what I said to the prior candidate, but I'm assuming that you've been watching. So if I missed something, I'm not afraid that you didn't hear it, but we are. Again, looking at three candidates today, you are one of the three on our short list, as you know. We are hopefully at the end of today's conversation with the three of you going to be in a position to recommend to the board the candidate who will eventually become our executive director. I would like to offer you the next 5 to 7 minutes to offer us a reason why you'd like to be our executive director, anything you'd like to present as far as your activities, either as interim director or as in your past lives in, employment, both at this agency and elsewhere, and tell us why we should select you as our next executive director.
Sure. Thank you so much. And I just want to start to say thank you to all of you.
And I'm dispelling with the introduction because you know who we are, and I don't want to call Maria Marino Marina Sachs again. She's not even smiling. Come on.
It wasn't
all right,
funny.
Go ahead.
I wanted to start with saying thank you so much for it's been an honor and a pleasure to serve as the TPA's interim executive director over the last 7 months, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity. I've been with the agency for over 7 years, and I'm truly passionate about our mission and vision, which I helped create to collaboratively plan, prioritize, and fund a safe, efficient, and connected multimodal transportation system. I'm very excited to be one of your finalists. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I love Palm Beach County. It's home. It's where I live. And I really enjoy working with all of our 39 municipalities, as well as our local, state, federal, and regional partners. Palm Beach County is an amazing place to live. We have an amazing quality of life. And there's nothing more I want to do than to work collaboratively with all of us to continue to improve the quality of life for everyone who lives, works, and plays here, while also continuing to experience both economic development and growth, which brings its opportunities, but also challenges. So it's a very exciting time for us in this county, and transportation is at the heart of providing a safe and efficient access to jobs, education, food, healthcare, while preserving our environment and quality of life. So I see these challenges. I think it's a blessing to have the growth that we're experiencing, but I see these challenges as a new start and opportunity to find a way to bring all the parties to the table and identify the core issues that we can incorporate them into our plans as we continue to advance our vision. During the past 7 months, I provided before the meeting a list of some of the activities I could think of, because it's been really busy, but it's been a lot of fun. I've worked hard to advance our goals and connect with our partners and educate our partners, as well as raise our agency's visibility in the community to increase public engagement. Also trying to strengthen partnerships and also starting to grow more of a deeper partnership with our economic development community, with the school district, with FDOT, PalmTran, SFRT, the port, the airport, and the county and local municipalities. So In this time, I'm really excited to announce we've had actually four new cities adopt Vision Zero, which is one of our goals, but that brings us to a total of seven cities since 2018. So we've had a really big push on that. And I want to give kudos to our most latest municipality, the Village of Wellington, who not only adopted a Vision Zero resolution earlier this week, but also a complete streets policy to ensure safe access for all users. So I'm really excited to see all these things that are moving forward. I've also presented and participated in about 30 public speaking engagements and about 180 partner meetings and events, trying to advance our goals, objectives, trying to get folks thinking about where we're headed, where we're going. And I do want to say that this was done while also completing our other agency, our required documents that we have to produce, including our unified planning work program that we just adopted, the new fiscal year 23 to 24, our new transportation five-year work program, transportation improvement plan, our TIP for fiscal year 23 to 27, our annual certification with FDOT. We just published, it's in the lobby, if you haven't seen it, our fiscal year 22 annual report. And we have our draft strategic plan for the next year. And these efforts I have been done with the amazing team that we have here, with the very hard work of all of our staff. And I want to thank them, because what I've listed doesn't include all of the successes and all the things that the team as a whole has been working on. And I want to thank staff for their hard work and support for our agency's success. And I want to also thank the board for the opportunity for entrusting me to fill this important and collaborative role for our county, for listening and getting on board and really thinking about this, all of this. I know it's a mind shift change. Florida is the number one most dangerous state for pedestrians. So it is a change in mindset to start thinking about moving people in other ways and trying to prioritize that safety. But we are at a critical point in time. We're establishing a roadmap of how we're going to collaboratively advance our vision while incorporating our local desires and concerns. And I'm very excited because we're about to embark on our 2050 long-range transportation plan update. And we're actually been working with our partners. Staff's been reaching out to partners for input into that draft scope to make sure we're incorporating everybody's desires and thoughts into it. So it's really collaborative this time around. And this is also part of another effort that's about to kick off through Southeast Florida Transportation Council, because we are.
I'm going to cut you off. We've hit about 7 minutes, and I want to give us an opportunity to ask you some questions.
Sure.
I'm going to start with Commissioner Marino, and then we'll go around the table, and Vice Chair Reed will be after Commissioner Marino.
So, Valerie, I'm going to ask a couple of the same questions, and one is. This is a new question. Do you understand the role of being separate from the county and why we separated, and how do you see balancing the county and the municipality, since we do have 21 members and we are all different?
Sure. Yes, I do understand. I think that it was a really great move. We're in downtown and in a multimodal environment, but we're also separate from the perception of being one with the county. So I think it kind of makes us as a neutral party where we can really bring everyone together. So I see us as being, I know we're a planning agency, we don't own or operate anything, but we plan, prioritize, and fund the system. And we can bring all of those parties together from a more of a neutral environment to bring and build those bridges and those relationships so that we can all come forward together. And that's something that I'm working on various fronts. But I see us as that kind of that Switzerland to get us all working together, because there's really nothing I want more than a positive collaborative environment between all of our very different partners. And as was mentioned earlier, we have a very diverse county, both in income and population and environment and work sectors. So.
And can you tell us why you left and when to took another job, and knowing that this job wouldn't be waiting for you when you came, if you came back?
Sure. I think that the pandemic affected folks in different ways. I did leave for a few months. My husband and I decided to take an opportunity in Alaska. It was something that I've always kind of thought about. I left Alaska 20 years ago, came to Florida, and an opportunity came up. I still have friends there, and it was really kind of I think not being able to travel or go anywhere in 2 years was kind of went for that opportunity, but it didn't work out, but it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be back here and be back in our home here in Palm Beach County and continue to advance the vision here.
And since you have been at the helm, how many staff members have left or are planning to leave?
We have had, including a staff member that's going to be leaving soon, we've had 5 staff members leave.
And can you tell us why they left?
Sure. I think there's a variety of factors. All 5 of them are going or went to the private sector. The job market's not very helpful right now for that. I know that 3 of them, or at least they said, were recruited from the private sector for better paying jobs, for work from home, for different conditions. And all 5 of them received other opportunities. We are also in a time of transition, a time of not really knowing how long this interim director position is going to last, who is going to be the director. So there's kind of a lot of balls up in the air. And also, you know, a lot going on, short staff, but I think there's just a variety of factors. I do know they all went to the private sector for good opportunities. So that's.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor Reed.
All right, so similar questions to before, but I do want to touch you, Commissioner Maria Marino spoke about the elephant in the room that we have here between counties, the county and our municipalities, and working together, even with the 2050 plan. I know there are some issues coming up already. So can you tell me how you hope to ameliorate that and what you're doing now and what your plan will be going forward to try to make that better?
Sure. One of the things that I want to do, I think Mayor Weineroth, our chair, mentioned, it might have been a question to another, to the other candidate, but is really making sure that our board is up to speed on everything going on. So one of the things that I want to do, I have been meeting with board members, but I want to sit down on a more regular basis with each of our board members and really, really kind of understand, have them understand what's going on, what are we working on, what are their local issues, what are projects coming up in their area, but also continue to encourage them to participate in educational opportunities to really see how can we move forward together. So one of the things that we did a peer exchange with Miami, who's not so far away, but they're farther along than us, to go learn from them. How did you get people on board? How did you get everyone to work well together? How did you shift that mindset of just kind of car capacity to people capacity? How did you make that work? And we're also planning a peer exchange in September with Austin, who passed a surtax recently, the transit agency, the county did. But you know, trying to understand how did you get everybody to come along to support the plan? So I want to really provide that constant communication at the board level, but also making sure that they are on the same page with their appointees or representatives in our committees, because we have our board, but we also have 3 advisory committees, 2 of them which, you know, have appointments from the board. So we have to see, all of them are appointed by the board, but some the TAC and the CEC have representatives from board members. So I want to make sure that they're communicating, they are on the same page, because that's the front line to all our municipalities. We have elected officials that are making decisions, and that's the governing board, but we also have at this other level, at the TAC level, at the CAC member, at the CAC level, those are also conversations that are very important. And at the technical advisory committee level, that's the message that the board member is sending through their representative. So if the planning director is saying something to the other planning director, they're perceiving it as from the board. So really getting everybody on the same page. Also, in our strategic plan, we want to offer a hands-on workshop, because the MPOAC Institute actually took a break and they hopefully will come back next year, but a hands-on workshop for our board members to have a training about what it means to be on the TPA and what we do here and why it's so important, where we're headed, and then also for our committee members as well. So different educational opportunities, trying to bring everyone together, really trying to understand with an open mind their concerns and incorporating that into the plans, but understanding that other areas have already gone through these struggles and these challenges and learning from them of how they overcame them.
Thank you. And I'll stop to allow time for everyone else to ask questions.
Okay, very good. Mayor Flores.
Hey, Valerie. Thank you for taking the time out to meet with us today. And this is not the first time I'll be asking questions of you, but I guess the one that's more important to me, we're familiar with your work quality, and we've worked alongside with you for a while now. But I guess my question is, you've been in this role now for 7 months. What would be, if you were to become the executive director for the TPA, what would be your priorities? How do you see yourself moving the board forward, and what would be what are opportunities out there that you would consider that we should take advantage of?
I think there's priorities internally and externally for the board, for our partners. I mentioned, I'd like to meet with all of our board members. I'd like to organize with staff. We've been talking about organizing these training workshops to make sure everybody's on the same page. Really getting everybody at the table to kick off this long range transportation plan, but also getting our board members to participate in peer exchanges where we go to other places, but also bringing some of those educational opportunities here and continuing to offer those opportunities to get everybody on the same page. So those are some of the things at the board level. Internally, we have been working on different things, revising our legal teams, revising our personnel handbook, making sure we're compliant, making sure we're clear. We've streamlined some items in our operating procedures, continuing to do those things. We're also looking for some other services at the agency. The board directed us to, we lost a lot of services when we became independent. So we've acquired some of them, but we need others, such as building facilities. Our board earlier this year directed us to outsource HR services. So there's a lot of things kind of administratively that we're trying to work on, but also looking at this such important time that we're in for this roadmap over the next 2 years. So really trying to work with all the partners. As I mentioned, the economic development community, we have a workshop coming up next month downtown with all the stakeholders to kind of try to figure that out and bring everyone together. The economic development community, the school district, all these various partners, which if we're going to pass a transportation surtax, we really need to work with everyone because we don't want to compete with each other. We got to make it work. And as I mentioned, transportation is really at the heart of it all. So really trying to work together on all of that.
Councilman Napoleon. Michael, we don't hear you. You're still muted. There you go.
My space bar wasn't working, so I'll go old fashioned and click it. Thank you, Ms. Nielsen. I want to follow up on a question Ms. Marino asked earlier. What do you see as, assuming we get a surtax passed, what do you see as the TPA's role in administering those funds going forward?
So when I stepped into I know this was something that we've been talking about and working on, and really in our 2045 long-range transportation plan, we identified a network of enhanced multimodal corridors that we really want to prioritize. We understand that some corridors are going to be priority car, but we need other east, west, or south ways to move people around. When I came in 7 months ago, it seemed like there was a lot of tension and people and a lot of kind of mistrust at the ground level and fighting about who's going to control these funds, folks, you know, having trust issues with the county, if the cities, how would that work out? My approach to that has been that I think that we need to first figure out, before figuring out who the funds are going to go to, we need to think about what is the vision and what everyone wants. If we didn't have to think about the fighting at the bottom, what is our vision for the future? From there, we can figure out, okay, these cities want local circulators. These folks want this. Palm Tran wants that. Then we can figure out the cost and then figure out how that's going to trickle down. Obviously, there would have to be agreements of whoever's controlling those funds. Personally, I think that we're a planning agency. An MPO normally does not lead a transportation surtax or pass it. They can't pass a transportation surtax. We can't even lobby. We do have, with local funds, we do have lobbyists in DC, but our role is really bringing everyone together, getting a unified vision, getting everyone to figure out the plan and collaborate together, and then get that across the finish line. I personally think that it would make more sense for at least at this moment in time, right now the funds could go through the county, but with clear trust and agreements for the cities. But that's something that I think we need to figure out. And it's more like getting into the weeds. It might work out that it goes to the cities better. I don't necessarily, at this point in time, I don't see us controlling the funds of a surtax, or even, you know, we prioritize funds, but those funds go through FDOT. So we don't function in that capacity right now. But I do want to continue learning and seeing what other MPOs have done, what their role has been in that. If learning, is that really the appropriate role for us, or is it more getting everybody on the same page, figuring out the plan, how much it's going to cost, and making sure everyone is on an even page?
What do you see as the biggest challenge facing Palm Beach County from a transportation standpoint, and what is your vision for the TPA to address it?
So the biggest challenge, which I see as an opportunity, is that I feel like we're that in that moment in time right now that we have been planning primarily for cars for a long time, and we're at that moment where we need to start shifting that mindset. And the challenge is bringing people along with that. I think the opportunity is that Broward and Miami-Dade counties have passed transportation surtaxes, so they're just down the street. So we're just the third part that's missing of that unified urbanized area. So the challenge is getting everybody to understand and actually believe that all this stuff takes a lot of time. So actually believing that someone would get out of their car to ride transit or take another mobility option. But in reality, that's a very self-centric way to think as well. So if we're only thinking about, well, would I get out of my car? What about people that can't drive, that can't afford to drive, that don't have the physical ability or the age to be able to drive? What about, we really need to think about all of our residents, all of our visitors, and also attracting and retaining both businesses and talent in our community. And what we're hearing that people want is mobility options. So we need to bring everyone together, again, through educational opportunities, through communicating through board members, advisory committee levels, at the different levels of government, both in our county and municipalities. We need to get everybody on the same page and bring them along to hear their issues, but also incorporate them into our plans.
You done, Mike?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, very good. All right, let me take a stock shot at you. I've read through your interim executive director's activities from December 2021 until today. They are very impressive. You've been very busy. Notwithstanding, I think, the impression of some people that you were just going to keep the lights on. Obviously, you have done more than that. But let's focus on what are the two elephants in the room, shall we say. The first of which, of course, is your, not your departure, because obviously your departure was not, you know, we can say anything about your decision to go to Alaska, why anybody would want to go to Alaska, I'm not sure. But when you came back, you presented yourself to another agency. You were able to convince them that you were their candidate to become their deputy director. And I'm assuming that was why they brought you on board. And within a couple of months, you told them you'd rather be someplace else. And you put yourself in front of us as a potential interim director. We are putting a lot of effort into this search. Not going to ask you to give us, you know, a lifelong commitment, but how can we be sure that this is going to be the role that is going to be the one that you have in your mind long term?
I am convinced and passionate about the TPA, as I mentioned. I think that, yes, I got Alaska out of my system. I did that, but I realized in that process that this is where I want to be, that this is where, I started with this agency 7.5 years ago. I've been a big part of creating this agency. It was sad for me that the previous director left, but I am 100% committed to the agency. I want to stay here long-term. I don't see myself going anywhere else. And really, it's just, I feel like an integral part of this agency, even to the point when I started, the previous director had only been here maybe a year and a half, but I walked in and the whole system that we had was something completely different. And we embarked on like the share drive that we have. All of our internal processes was like a whole system that we've created over the last 7.5 years. So I feel like it's really my home and it's really my agency and where I want to be. And I hope that I'd be very grateful and if given the opportunity, but I'm very happy to be here and I don't plan on going anywhere else.
Commissioner Marino alluded to the fact that we're having some staffing issues here, and obviously you can't be blamed for that. I know that you've had one hand tied behind your back as an interim director, and you've had to look to us and the board for approval of steps that you've taken. But what have you done to try and do team building in the period that you have been here since December to try and create a esprit de corps and a collaborative agency?
Sure. So I have one-on-one meetings with my direct reports, but also offer that to all staff on a quarterly basis. We do a bi-weekly staff meeting, but also staff recognition quarterly. We've been looking at other opportunities to engage staff more, to do more team building. We recently I'm part of Leadership Palm Beach County, so I reached out to them for suggestions on team building instructors, and we had Nancy Prophet come and do a team building event, which was really helpful with staff to learn about our different personalities and how to work better together and really focusing on our agency vision. Also been looking at other opportunities, and we're scheduling those quarterly now for team building and recognizing staff. We have had staff leave, but we also promoted one staff internally to a higher position to fill one of those vacancies. We've also hired two new staff positions and an intern. So we've had some additions to the team. But one of the things that folks said that they're one of the reasons that was attractive to go to the private sector was more to be able to work from home. So that's a recent policy that I work with our legal team to implement. So we do offer a work from home policy, trying to really, you know, listen to some of the needs and desires of staff. But I think it's something that we want to continue working on, and we want to continue working together to build a team. I think that this being short staffed, also having my old position vacant, which also creates a strain on the system because we're all trying to fill in the voids, hasn't really helped. And so I'm looking forward to being able to have, I think everyone's looking forward to being able to have more stability on what's going to happen and really being able to complete the staff team.
You have 2 minutes left. I'd like to ask you, what do you think looking forward with this agency? What is the greatest challenge that you foresee over the next year?
Over the next year, we're going to be looking at this mobility vision for the remaining of our 5-6-1 quarters and really trying to identify what is the plan there with PalmTran. They're mostly FDOT roadways with Palm Beach County. I think, again, the biggest challenge is trying to imagine people getting out of their cars in the future on certain quarters and trying to shift that mindset, really trying to understand that actually having a more efficient transit system, one that would be equal or better to your car and just as attractive, and the whole environment around it would benefit us in a lot of different ways, and being able to get people to get on board with that and really proving that that could alleviate actual levels of stress on our highways and roadway system. So it's bringing everybody on board and getting them to come along for that vision, for that plan, for that journey together.
Thank you. We have 1 minute left. Does anybody else have a question they want to follow up on? Seeing none, I think you are done. We thank you so much for your time. We appreciate the opportunity to, again, delve into your qualification for this position. And before we're done today, I think we will have a recommendation for the board as far as the person that we're going to recommend for this position. So thank you very much, Valerie.
Thanks so much.
Okay. We have 1 minute, and then we'll pull the next applicant into our meeting, and that applicant information is in our file. That's Mr. Parassa. Okay.
And we, because it takes a minute, we just went ahead and promoted him so he can connect. So we should be good.
Hi, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, Vice Chair. Good afternoon, committee members.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for making yourself available today. My name is Robert Weinroth. I am the chair of the Transportation Planning Agency here in Palm Beach County. I am joined today by my vice chair, Chelsea Reed, who is also mayor of the city of Palm Beach Gardens. I have with me the commissioner of Palm Beach County, District 1, Maria Marino. I have with me also the mayor of our city of Green Acres, Joel Flores, and we have virtually with us Councilman Michael Napoleone from the town of Wellington. We have, as you probably know, have been having about a half hour discussion with each of the other two candidates. You are one of the three on our short list. After this discussion today, we will, as a committee, meet and hopefully come to a consensus as to the applicant that we're going to recommend to the board. In the next 5 to 7 minutes, I'd like to give you an opportunity to let us know a little bit about yourself, your accomplishments, and why you would like to be considered for this position.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, nice to meet you. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm really excited about this position, and I'm very interested in this position. At Wichita Area MPO, I made a difference in my leadership and the way the MPO operates and functions. I just had 2 days of a Kansas statewide summit on the bill, the bipartisan infrastructure law, or the Infrastructure Investment Jobs Act. There were presenters from Federal Highway Administration from Washington, D.C., and there were Governor Kelly, State Secretary, were all there. And then my chairman and my executive committee members and myself, we were there. We are integral part of statewide coordination as well as local jurisdictions within the MPO area. I was also selected as a committee member for Kansas Statewide Freight Advisory Committee. And then I had contributions on, the passenger rail as well as freight as well. Not just the rail portion, but also roadways and surface transportation. I don't know where to start, but thank you for the opportunity. I heard from my members and jurisdictions that that I made a difference in the region. In past 15 years, the processes that were laid out in MPO, how all jurisdictions have a voice, and the project selections process were more transparent than before. That was one accomplishment I heard because I didn't know what was before me. So some of the feedback I received, this is one of them. And when I joined, one of the financial stability of the MPO was also an issue that my executive committee members advised me that Chad tackled this, and then a few other things my executive committee members have advised me to tackle. So I did, as a leader, crisis is never a problem because my background is in engineering. And then, early on, right from childhood, it's always problem solving. When I graduated from University of Oklahoma in 1992, I attended between 1992 and 1995. I had obtained my civil engineering degree. Again, in the engineering, it's always problem solving. And then 1995, I took a job in a small MPO in Texas. From then on until now, I had like 5 years of private consulting firm in traffic engineering. That's when I had the opportunity to study the corridor analysis and, the corridor's congestion, and then how do we mitigate the transportation problems. So I was pretty active in many studies with private consulting firm. That's one of the reasons why, you know, that solutions to transportation problems in the region, I was always sought for the input in many committees, not only safety committee, as well as freight and various modes of transportation, transit as well. And then bike pit committee is another active part that I am also, I created a committee on bike pit and active transportation and also safety as well. Most recently, the economic development has been forefront because my committee members believe that, you know, with the pandemic, how can the resilience and economic recovery can happen, how transportation system can contribute to that. So we gave a new meaning to the transportation planning and transportation systems. And it was a united effort within jurisdictions. And we involved state also and federal partners in our efforts. And we initiated a new technical report for the long-range transportation plan to be added, which is economic development. So there are many initiatives, Mr. Chair, committee members, that that happened in this place. And then if I have a 1.5 minute, I have an evaluation of my accomplishments from my committee. May I play the, if you, with your permission, Mr. Chair?
Absolutely.
Thank you. One moment, please. I need to share how to share the sound and voice. Let me check that real quick.
Okay, and it should be maybe in the bottom bar where you can share.
Audio settings, I see. Maybe I should go to audio settings.
It should be a green share screen button.
Oh, thank you. Perfect.
You're welcome. And then on the pop-up, just make sure that you click in the left bottom left corner. It does say to share your sound.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Share the sound. 1 second. Oh, yeah, found it. Sorry for delay. Let me make the screen bigger. I'm so hesitant to brag about myself, so let me show what my superiors had to say. This was an evaluation not long ago, like a month of February, and then this was a policy body meeting, and my chairman of executive committee has summarized our executive committee evaluation, because last year we had a financial stability that we solved of the local matches and we became stronger, and then he shared this. So
passes unanimously. Thank you. Next item on is the executive committee. And we've already covered most of what the executive committee discussed at the meeting that we held on February the 24th. But the main thing was the tip fees. We've all voted on that. Chad also talked about some of the staff tasks that are coming up, and we've discussed that. He updated us on where we're at with the budget. We get that update each time that we have executive committee meeting, and we are on track with that, and we're not going back in the hole, so things are looking good there. And he briefed us on the audit final report and gave us a copy of that, and you all have reviewed that, and we voted on it today. So really, that's the major part of it. Concluding that portion of it, we excused Chad from the room. And the executive committee last year did not provide a raise to Chad because we weren't sure where we were at financially at that point in time. But the executive committee, we did discuss raising the salary for Chad, and we voted unanimously to give Chad a 6% increase in his pay from this point forward. So I wanted the rest of the TPB to know that we did take those actions at the executive committee. Oh, any questions on anything that we discussed?
Chad, I'm going to thank you. Move on now to the questions from our board here, and I'm going to ask my vice chair, Mayor Reed, to be the first person to ask you a question.
Thank you so much for sharing all of that with us. And that was nice clip. It's always good to see that.
In your application, you said that you evaluate to motivate. Can you expand on that, please, a little bit?
Thank you, Ms. Vice Chair Reed. Because I was working with MPO for more than 20 years, I had played the roles of almost all levels, like, you know, starting from transportation planner and GIS analyst and moving up in all areas. So I was so knowledgeable about each of the staff's activities. Anytime staff is stuck on something or sees a hurdle, how to pass through this, I was always there to help and uplift from the issues. And that was something I love about, the way I had built the team here in Wichita MPO. So motivation is always requires a lot of patience, because allowing somebody, doing some errors and mistakes, but having that patience and uplifting again, how do we motivate the evaluation is very sensitive at times. So having that art of motivating and looking at the future, how the team member can be, fired up and then do better next time. So.
All right, great. And tell me what you know about RTPA here in Palm Beach County.
Thank you again. I was there when I was working in Tampa area in 2017. There was a GIS conference in 2017. So I attended at West Palm Beach Downtown Convention Center. I was there like maybe the 3 or 4 days in a week. Also, I was familiar with Fort Lauderdale. I was there on May 17, 18, 19 during the AMPO conference at Riverside Hotel, I think, Las Colinas Boulevard. It's amazing how there was this river and then the tunnel roadway under the river. It's just, so looking at these and visiting, it's amazing how much Fort Lauderdale is growing in terms of housing and the rising towers, high-rise buildings. So the lessons learned from Miami and Fort Lauderdale seems to fit well for the West Palm Beach area as well, because so those are some of the things. And this, it's amazing how multi-modal transportation system is in West Palm Beach area as well. You know, the train, passenger rail, and then active transportation and roadways and all. So.
Your mic's off.
Sorry.
Thank you. Sorry, my fault entirely. So I understand that you know a bit about West Palm, but can you tell me what you know about our actual agency, the TPA here?
Not so much, not at all, very little knowledge, but what I heard from Bob Slavin and Mayor Flores, it's very similar to the structure that WAMPO is. Like, we have 23 board members, out of which 21 are elected officials and a couple of them from state representatives, and then federal highway representation. So the structure is very similar. And then we have my supervisor. I report to 5 executive committee members plus, immediate past chair. And then the population is about, between West Palm Beach and then Broward County and Miami-Dade, I have a number in my head, like 1.5 million and 2 million and 2.5 million, approximately, closely. So not a whole lot, Vice Chair, just a little bit.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Mayor Flores, would you like to ask some questions?
Hey, Chad, it's good to speak with you again. I'm going to ask two questions. I'm going to start with the current organization that you're with. Are they aware that you are seeking other jobs, and how do they feel about that? And then second, why is it that you want to leave?
Oh, that's a great question. So I did mention to my chair that I'm participating in an interview. My chair said, "You're not going, are you?" Because that's not a good thing to say to my boss. And then we have developed very good relationships, and I love my executive committee members, and they count on me. And then I was, I'm very pleased with what I accomplished, what is expected out of me. This is a great opportunity. it's very difficult to leave if I'm chosen. This is a wonderful opportunity in terms of relationships, but then in terms of the opportunity, it's exciting. If you choose me as the candidate, it is one of the best opportunities because that will help me solve. First, my life's ambition was to become executive director for the MPO. And then rest of my life, for anyone, Florida is desirable for retirement and to spend rest of the life. And then financially also, I'd be able to help my family. This is mainly due to helping my family on some of the financial situations. So that's the primary reason. And the secondary reason is the multimodal opportunities of the transportation system, the transit, the active transportation, and the density, the multi, you know, the land use density and mixed use development. Those opportunities are amazing because I was in Florida and the growth, it's there's so much to look forward to bring together players in that setting. So I'm happy to elaborate. I know it's tough, but I can elaborate if I'm not complete in my answer.
No, I think that's fine. I do have one more question for you. I see that you've moved around from Connecticut, Kansas City, Ohio. You spent a little bit of time in Florida, a little bit over a year in the Pasco County, and then Pennsylvania, and then again, Kansas. My question to you is how if you were to give a disposition, how would you catch up with what's happening here in the state of Florida and hit the ground running? How would you be able to manage everything all at once?
Awesome. That is like a... I'm about to say it's a piece of cake for me because I know there are challenges because MPO and TPA is almost like a home for me because the first job I took was in MPO and the details that happen, the processes that need to happen, the funding mechanism that occur, the coordination with State Department of Transportation, the state secretary's role, and the districts and the local jurisdictions, these partnerships and these discussions were my life. You know, I was breathing through this all along. So it is like I'm living this again at a larger setting and large and urbanized area and in a more challenging environment. So really as a leader, you always are ready for challenges in solving and helping communities and leadership. Like you all are committed, you know, you all, I always admire your leadership because you volunteer your time. And that's one thing that I always am grateful because I myself am a volunteer, right from when my kids were growing in Columbus, Ohio, from kindergarten to college, all along. So, you know, with that attitude of leadership, with that attitude of understanding the MPO processes, I believe it's an excitement for me in this setting.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, we're now going to ask Councilman Napoleon to step in and ask his questions.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I thought the mayor was going to ask my question, but he did not. My question is, looking at your resume, which is most impressive, you have moved around a lot. And my question is, what is it that you're looking for that you haven't found yet? And why would we be confident that you would stick around in Palm Beach County for the long haul?
I'm tired as well, Mayor. Moving and then I don't want to move anymore myself because the life's ambition was to become the executive director for the MPO. And I have attained that. And then if I'm chosen, this should be my last stop. And then spend rest of my life, you know, with family and kids in a great place. So there, Florida is. I'm not alone to seek Florida to be rest of the life and to be retirement there. And I'm not alone in this. So I think that's one of the reasons I found what I want, and then I'm happy where I am right now. But this is one of the best opportunities in my life. I desired this opportunity to be in a couple of years later. But when I saw this opportunity, when I saw Bob Slavin, talking to Bob Slavin, I felt I do my best discussing with you, and then I'll wait for your judgment.
What do you see? I know you don't know Palm Beach County specifically. What do you see as the vision of transportation in the future? How are we going to continue to move people around without just putting more cars on the road?
That's something every MPO is thinking through at the moment. Even the recent law also enacted, the IIJA law, that's landmark legislation that's enacted, also has adequate funding for transit. And then, how do we reduce the cars? So really, that is an exciting opportunity. That's one thing that I'm excited about this position as well. There is so much that can be done, and I'm very passionate about it because I walked, biked all my childhood, and so I'm, of course, serving all modes of transportation is important because the choice of public is important. Having multimodal options for public is extremely important for all of us leaders. Again, living in Florida for some time, in Tampa area, as a county employee, we are in the front line when a crisis comes. Like when Hurricane Irma occurred, we were volunteers in the building. 70 of us were all together in one building, helping public with the website, showing evacuation areas and where shelter areas are. So I was part there. Also, after the Hurricane Irma, we had many power lines. 40,000 homes were without power. And then we asked the utility company, when will it restore? So when that occurs, how that coordination takes place, how the transportation system is back up again, running great, how do we do that? Especially in that area, having multimodal transportation like trains and all, because highways are not adequate. I have driven 95 in Florida as well. I know 95 is always a problem. When I was in Connecticut, 95 is always, it serves high density populations all north and south. So there's a lot, Mayor, to address your question because, and bringing many players together, many leaders together, not just Palm Beach County MPO, Palm Beach County MPO, but also Broward County and Miami. So I have talked to, Greg Stewart at Broward County MPO, and also the director at Miami-Dade County as well. So with AMPO, I'm one of the nominating committee for board of directors at the AMPO as well. So I'm aware of how regionalism is important, how these solutions need lessons learned from the, from the neighboring MPOs. So there's a lot more, Mayor. That's a great question. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll yield my time.
Thank you. Commissioner Marino.
Thank you. And thank you for being with us today. We have the possibility in the future of having a transportation surtax put on the ballot as an initiative for a funding program for us. Are you familiar with anything of that nature?
Not so much, Commissioner. Is it something related to miles driven? The tax is based on miles driven rather than the gas fuel used?
No, currently we have a 1% surtax, a user tax, basically. Anybody who's buying something, that an additional 1% goes to the county for infrastructure. That is going to sunset in the future. And there's been a discussion about substituting a transportation surtax because of the needs that we have here in the county, both not just for cars, but for rail and bus and all the others. So it's important to have somebody who's familiar with a ballot initiative or even the, how to go through the motions of getting that enacted. So that's a concern of all of ours right now. Do you, you understand the role of our board. We have 21 board members. Some are county commissioners, some are municipalities. We have 39 municipalities here in the county. We're 1.5 million people. The county alone is a $6 billion budget. And, you know, we have representatives from all of our larger cities here. So the role of the executive director of the TPA here is to work hand in hand with all of those, and not to mention your staff and getting information out. So how would you get information out to all of our board members?
Thank you, Commissioner. That's something I live every day. Getting information to the board members and being transparent, keeping my executive committee members ahead of the time on things, not in the last minute. Even if something is occurring a later part of this year, I keep my executive members and board members like starting from like way before, like year ahead, like this is upcoming. Then I prepare a schedule with the help of my staff. And then it's never, it was always smooth after I joined, because the knowledge of the processes that I am aware of the MPO, the functions of each staff member that I'm aware of, and then how I assign tasks to staff, like, the short-term tasks, the mid-range tasks, and the long-range tasks for the staff as well. Like, for example, the long-range transportation plan becomes their long-term tasks on GIS mapping and the data. The middle can be studies like safety, and then development of TIP, Transportation Improvement Program. And then the immediate tasks are always for the meetings and data and presentations. So well-structured, aligning staff and keeping staff busy with this type of framework, and then constantly putting my board members and executive members as the top, and that's the highest and high priority. First, we develop a schedule for the board members and the executive committee. I update it to my members, and then trickles down the task for the staff. So the structure, with my engineering background and technical background, structure is important, and then data and dissemination, and then organization of data is important. And then, presenting to you in a manner which is not overwhelming at one time, and then planning ahead of the time. These are the ways, Commissioner, I've been doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I have a few more questions for you. We have about 4 or 5 minutes left. I'm going to give you an extra minute because of the snafu and the technical issues there. Tell me a little bit about Wichita. You know, my impression is that we're talking about wide open spaces, that maybe mobility hasn't become a real issue for you out there. Public transportation is not a tremendous urgency, that you're more concerned with the build out of a interstate system. Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me a little bit about what it is that the Wichita area MPO is focused on right now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's an awesome question. Wichita, like you said, is beautiful with wide skies open. Just like the way when we see the oceans, the blue oceans, the beauty of the skies is the same way. The sunset and sunrise and the farming. Even though the land is flat, but still it's just amazing. And that's one of the reasons why a few decades ago, the Boeing and the airplanes, the fuselages are made here. Like even today, the Spirit Airlines is here. And oftentimes I see the rail carrying those to rest of the nation. Like the assembly can take place sometimes in Washington State and other places, but really even some of my executive committee members, they worked in Boeing before, and they are so real heroes of this manufacturing it's pretty strong in manufacturing. And then of course the second commodity that flows on our transportation system besides these airplane fuselages is grains. The wheat and the corn, soybean, and then there's one more. Sorghum is a cattle feed product. So
let me stop you there, because I want to get a couple more points in before we run out of time. You mentioned in your resume that you are overseeing the transportation for a number of counties. How many counties are as your MPO responsible for?
So in addition to the Sedgwick County mayor, there is a little bit portion of Butler County on the east side. And then on the south side, there's a Sumner County. So it's complete one county plus a tiny bit portion. Like it has like 10,000 or 15,000 population, just a little bit, some portion of it. So in total, like three counties, one complete and two of them, tiny portions.
Now you said that you're reporting directly to five elected officials, but then you go on to say there are 23 members of the board. How is that organized?
So, you know, the policy body members are all 23, but then they represent executive committee to, work on issues and then report back to the larger body. So the chairman of the TPP becomes the chair for the executive committee member as executive committee as well. And then vice chair is from City of Wichita council member. And then we have Andover, other city, and then county. So mayor and council members from some of the jurisdictions become the executive committee. And the bylaws have executive committee for terms, like two-year terms for the chair. And then it has a rotation. And then there is a, that's how it is.
What's the population in your service area?
It's a 550,000 population. Like you said, the growth is modest, and then there are no issues of transportation. There's no urgency for transit as well. All what you said is very correct, Mr. Chair. Your reading is right on.
Do you have anything like a transportation-oriented development going on, centers of development around areas of public transportation? Is that anything that's been developed in Wichita?
Yes, Mayor. The downtown has revitalization and densification and mixed use. There's a lot of, there's a study that's proposed in our TIP project, and WAMPO staff is very involved with the director of the Wichita Transit as well. We plan to, we have, you know, UPWP, a task that is, you know, we programmed a task where we work closely with the transit agency as well.
Very good. Well, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time today to visit with us. As you know, you're one of the three applicants that we're now going to be speaking about in a couple of minutes. We appreciate this opportunity to learn a little bit more about you. And again, thank you for your interest in this position.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. Do you want to take a 5-minute break before we do this? Okay. Michael, we're going to take a 5-minute break.
Okay, I heard you.
Michael, where are you again? Are you at work?
I am in Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh, that's right.
In the white boy.
Thank you for giving us your time.
You know, I was born and raised in Norwalk, Connecticut, right?
I know that now.
And I am a UConn Huskies graduate.
Oh, look at you.
All right. We are going to return to our meeting. And obviously, we have three excellent candidates in front of us. And I will entertain any conversation you want to have. I don't think it's we want to make a motion to appoint yet. I think it's at least worthy of some conversation, unless you are so convinced that you want to just make a motion. Commissioner Marino, I'm going to ask you to opine first.
I'm not going to have anything nice to say at this moment.
Okay.
I don't think, if these are the three best candidates, I think Mr. Slavin didn't do his job. We should have had three equal on par candidates, and I don't think we did. And I don't believe that our TPA should be the training ground for anybody. And if this was a job that I was interviewing for, I would have had a lot more information about the TPA. And so obviously Valerie stands out because she knows she's experienced with our TPA. But having said that, I don't like how our TPA has gone in the last couple of months. Whether it's her fault or not, I'm not saying that. But of the, you know, I don't think we have the three best candidates for the job. And I'm again going to say that if these are the three best candidates for the job, then I'm very disappointed in the search.
Okay, very good. Mayor Reed.
So although I don't feel like all of the candidates researched the TPA, I'll tell you what, if I was also applying for this position, I would have read minutes like when I what you do when you're going to go to council, you go to the council meetings, you read the minutes, you watch the recordings. You should have a deep knowledge of at least of what we're doing. Yeah. And also as far as the transportation surtax, I would have also Googled newspaper articles. And if there's any article that says TPA and Palm Beach in the last year and a half to 2 years, it's going to say something about a transportation surtax in there. So it shouldn't have been something someone didn't know about. And I did do some research on the candidates, and both Mr. Blackshear and Mr. Parasa applied for a job at the River to Sea TPO, and they had 26 applicants. I took the time to call the chair and the vice chair of that TPO to ask them why the two candidates did not receive that position. They received 26 applications, which then went down to 18 and then to 12. And neither of our two candidates that were presented us today were even finalists at that 26 number. So maybe that wasn't that long ago. If this is the cream of the crop, then yes, Ms. Nielsen definitely rises to the top of it. And I was really, really disappointed to see the lack of research about something that is so extraordinarily important.
Mayor Flores, this is your second time around with these candidates. What can you tell us?
Well, I sort of had the same reaction that Commissioner Marino had when I went through the first round of interviews. These were the three best candidates that came, and the seven people that we invited for interviews. We had an individual who had some state experience. He sounded like he knew what he was talking about. His budget was way above what we're offering here. He withdrew his application. I think he would have been recommended as well, but he withdrew basically the next day that we interviewed him. These two individuals had a little bit of executive director experience, as you can see. And I wasn't impressed with the pool, honestly. I can't even believe that on the second go around, they still don't know. Even though I answered questions regarding the TPA, I think it speaks volume to, I don't know, it just, you know, I guess that my last comment is I have not been impressed with the process. It has been a hiccup right from the get-go. So that's just my opinion about the pool. In regards to the candidates that came forward, I think Valerie stood out. And I don't know if that's because of lack of preparation of the others, but it just seems like she's been there. She knows what we're doing. And that's just my two cents.
Thank you. Okay, Councilman, what's your thoughts?
Well, the nice thing about going last is I can say I agree with almost everything everyone has said before me. I was not impressed with this list, with the candidate pool. If Mr. Blackshear and Mr. Passara and Ms. Nielsen were the highest ranked people out of the pool, I'm concerned about the pool we had. And I'm curious, Vice Chair, what was the position you looked at? They had 26 applicants.
Mr.
Slavin, maybe you can give us the answer. How many applicants did you get?
We did disable him from talking, but we're going to enable it again.
All right, very good.
Councilmember Napoleon, were you talking about the research that I did?
I was asking about your research, and you saw these two of our three applicants today had applied for a job where there were 26 applicants. Where was that position?
That was for River to Sea TPO, which is like Volusia County area. And so I spoke with both the chair and the vice chair I was thinking I was going to get to talk about how much they enjoyed the process of getting to know the candidates. But like I said, out of the 26 applications for the first rung, the two other candidates, aside from Ms. Nielsen, did not make it into even the first cut.
And I'm concerned about our process. If they got 26 applicants, how many applicants did we get for our position?
Seven. Mr. Slavin, are you on now?
He should be.
Hello, Bob.
You're unmuted on our end. I'm not sure if you have to unmute on your end.
Right. While we're waiting, what I will say is that TPO did wind up going with their interim director. So perhaps the argument could have been made, oh, well, they probably thought that we'd stick with the interim. They still got 26, right? And we didn't for the applicants. And
if I'm not mistaken, our first when we first opened the doors to do this, we had a gentleman that was
from Port St. Louis.
MPO from Port St. Lucie. He did not apply.
Let me put my two cents in. I think we have to recognize with an interim director in place, it's going to detract from the idea of someone putting themselves out there in a public forum to apply. And we have to recognize that interferes with maybe some people putting their name up here.
Right. I agree to disagree, though, because they had 26 in Volusia, and okay. That was only 5 months ago. And they had an interim director that they did hire.
Right. I think we're lucky in that we had an interim director in place that was able to carry this organization forward for 6 months. This never should have taken this long. We've had this conversation. This really was way too long. Tortured is probably the perfect word for it. And I'm not going to criticize Mr. Slavin, but I'm just going to say that I think there's an element of disappointment in the candidates we saw. I'm glad that we had Mayor Flores part of the discussion to get us to these three. Otherwise, I would be wondering what it was that we were getting these top three from. I think it's clear in my mind that Ms. Nielsen is superior to the two candidates that we saw today. We have identified issues, and not the least of which of those issues is the instability of the staff here. And the question is that her fault? Is that the fault of the predecessor who basically did not go out without creating some disruption in the organization? Do we reopen this to another search where I don't think that we should anticipate much of a difference? Do we today just say, given the choices we have before us, and certainly I'm not saying that the incumbent would not make a good person to con- continue to carry on the mission of this organization. But are we satisfied? Do we want to reopen this? Do we want to keep this interim open longer? And I think that it's harmful to the agency to continue in this fashion. But I'm certainly willing to listen to my colleagues here. I'm not going to make a motion to appoint. I will certainly accept a motion if anybody's ready to do that.
I'll give you my two cents on that. And again, as I'm sure we all did, I went into this with an open mind, and Ms. Nielsen had no head start over anyone else because I wanted to see who these candidates were. They had impressive resumes, but when they came in here, as we said before, they really flopped in the interview. They didn't do their homework to prepare for the job. And to me, that's almost a disqualifying factor for them. If you're not going to put in the work for the job you want, how much work can you do when you get it? It's like when I see typos in a resume. If you can't work on the most important document that you're working on right now and get it perfect, why would I hire you to be a lawyer in my firm? I can't rely on that. So to me, those two are disqualified to me. And I think, you know, again, we've had some personnel issues, but it's been an upheaval to the organization the way Nick left. And Maria, did Ms. Sachs walk out on me?
She's having technical difficulties.
Yeah, she threw it at me. That's what it was.
You, I still love.
Thank you.
Especially since you're in my home state.
Thank you. But again, I think, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons. There's potentially a lot of reasons why there's been staff turnover. We are in an age with uncertainty as to what people want to do with their jobs and careers. I'm facing that in my own firm with people, what they want, what their expectations are. And there's been a lot of turnover in a lot of organizations. So I'm not going to put that all on Ms. Nielsen's plate. But I do think it's a disservice to us to keep this as an interim position and keep it open indefinitely, since we, you know, these were the best candidates we got. And I wasn't impressed by the outside candidates. So I think the best interest of the organization is to move forward and recommend to the full board that we make Ms. Nielsen the permanent executive director and hope that she continues to grow into the job.
I have a motion by the councilman. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second by Mayor Flores. Let's continue to discuss it. I am impressed by the list of items that the interim director gave to us today. Certainly, I think that we can all agree that she has not just been a placeholder. She's not just kept the lights on. I think the staff issues certainly are not entirely of her doing. I'm sure that there are issues that she is going to have to address. I think team building is something that is critical to this organization. I think the HR issues are something that's critical to this organization, and we're going to address that with an RFP to bring in an HR specialist. I think that the current incumbent, Ms. Pierce's decision to depart momentarily is just another signal that we need to look at what's going on here as far as building a team again if we go forward with Ms. Nielsen, which I am going to be in agreement with that motion. I think that we have to work with her and ensure that the team that we build here can work together, because it's, you know, no man or woman is a mountain. This organization has to continue to prosper, whether it's with this incumbent or with the next one. And we as electeds know that our seat will be filled by someone else someday. So I think for the good of the organization, it's been on hold now for 6 months. I'm going to agree to vote for the motion to offer a employment contract to Ms. Nielsen. Any other discussion? Seeing no discussion, I am going to call a vote. All in favor of offering a contract to Ms. Nielsen, raise your hand. All right, we have a 4-1.
I don't think.
Go ahead. No, yeah, you're off again.
I don't think this process was done well. And to give Valerie the nomination as the as the best of the least is not a way to do this. And if another agency can get 26 applications and have an interim director, something was wrong with this process. So while I have nothing against Valerie, that is not what I'm saying. This was a bad process. And I don't think the job was done well. And the fact that we only had 7 people apply for this position, it's a debacle. And I don't feel comfortable moving forward in the way we are now.
Okay. And I think when we recommend this to the board, I think you need to bring that forward and let...
I can't hear you when you sit back to the microphone. I would love to hear you.
I have had a target on my back since I became a county commissioner, so it's fine if I have take more slings and arrows for this one.
And we're not saying you're taking slings and arrows, and none of us are jumping for joy with the process.
If I may.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of things here at play, and I had this discussion with Mr. Slavin, because I haven't been happy with this process. I've made him known here in multiple meetings. It started off with they couldn't get a hold of me. I mean, how can they not get a hold of me? I mean, it's public information. It's pretty easy to find my phone number online. You literally Google me and it comes up. But there has been, and this is something that Mr. Slavin has expressed to me personally, and I know he's trying to be a better man by never saying it, but I'm going to say it. There's been an undermining by the staff that has happened through this process that we haven't even discussed here. I think some of us up here know. And I think if you've been tracking and you've been following the meetings, you can tell there's something at play. So I think that may have, and I think this is the point that Mr. Slavin got to. If you've been tracking this position, you know there's been internal issues. And the staff leaving and whatever's happening, I think it's all at play here. And the reason that we only got, I believe it's 11 candidates. I think we invited 7. I think that's some people got eliminated for whatever reason. So we interviewed 7. These 3 were the ones that raised, surfaced to the top. I think we have to, the reason we didn't have 20 something candidates, I think it's because of what's transpired since the last person left. That's my opinion.
So we did get Mr. Slavin online. Mr. Slavin, how many total applications were received, please, sir?
Bob, are you there?
We're going to, we have him unmuted on our end, but we're going to try to promote him to a panelist to see if he gets a better
I don't think ultimately it's going to matter how many applicants they had. I think if we agree that Mayor Flores was part of the selection of the from the 7 that Mrs. Slavin identified as the strongest, and he found these 3 to be the strongest of those 7, and we are now sitting here shaking our heads over the applicants as far as their lack of understanding of the nuances of this particular assignment, then, you know, I'm not sure that whether we had 20 applicants or 11 applicants is going to matter. But Mr. Slavin, are you on now?
Bob, I don't know if you're calling in from your cell phone and you have to unmute on that end, but on our end, we have that you're unmuted.
All right. We've had a vote, and I think that I don't want to belabor this, and we know that there are going to be issues, and I think that as an executive committee, we know that we're not just going to be able to hire an executive. Hold on a second, Bob. We know that we're not just going to hire an executive director and walk away from this. So this is going to be a work in progress, and we're going to have to maybe have an action plan to make sure that we are satisfied with the direction this agency has taken. Bob, the question was, how many applicants ultimately did you receive?
I still don't know, but you can hear me. We had 11 total. 11.
I think you said 11 total.
Let me ask you a question, Bob. You've heard our conversation, I'm assuming. You've heard our frustration with the quality of the caliber and even the quantity of the applicants we received. And while there could be some point that sensing some turmoil in the agency, that might have been a reason that people weren't applying, there also could be the reason that people seeing an interim felt that it wasn't worth their time applying, saying that the interim probably had a leg up. But can you give us an idea? You've done searches before. Is this the worst one you've ever had? The best one you ever had? Is give us an evaluation.
The search did not progress because of that. It was one of the toughest ones I've ever done. We should have started in December. I had plans to be there in December to start it. That was canceled and postponed and postponed and postponed. In doing the recruiting, we contacted every director of transportation planning agency in the state of Florida, focused primarily on the Southeast, but announced it nationally. When I was actually doing outreach recruiting, I didn't hear a lot of.
Bob, you're breaking up terribly. Are you in a place that maybe you can move out of so that you get a better signal? Bob, you're in another zone. All right, let's move on.
Well, here, no matter what, the more instability we have, the more we're going to lose folks. That we're going to have more attrition. It's every time in my previous business experience, if we just even changed a front office person, we could lose two or three people. The attrition happens because of instability. We need to go forward with stability now. And by putting someone in who is passionate and ready to go, that's not a bad thing. That's a very good thing. I think we go forward, we set benchmarks to provide these things happen. And that's what you do in any business. And this is the business of mobility and transportation for our county and for our residents. We are all very frustrated at how long this has taken. And the fact that it's coming down to finger pointing is childish. We need to level up and maintain what our residents need so that we can do the right thing for them. So I would like to go forward and end the search. If it looks like the new director, if this becomes Ms. Nielsen, is not performing to task, we will do it better. However, we need to go. This has been 6 months of instability. I think it's actually more because it was unstable before the previous executive director left. And we've been hanging out with MOPS for way too long. So I think the mess is clean enough. And we have a person who's ready to run with the ball if we throw it to them. And I think we should go forward.
Okay. Again, we voted, and I think the vote, which again is not unanimous, but certainly a majority. I think what we should do now first is just agree, and I believe, let's talk about the salary for a moment, and then what I want to do is assign the task of one of you working with Paul and Valerie to get the employment agreement negotiated so that we can have that before the board at our next meeting. And I think a full report will be made at that meeting that this wasn't a unanimous decision. We can talk about as much or as little as you want as far as the process and make a decision. Yes, Margie?
I'm sorry. I just wanted to confirm or clarify for you. We do have an agenda packet that needs to go out, and we were delaying it because we needed to include this, the applicant, selected applicants, we have that, but also include the employment agreement for the board members. Is that something that we
The employment have? Agreement is not going to go out with the agenda. You can put that down as it'll be provided at the meeting.
Okay, great. I just want to clarify so we can get that out the door. Great.
I want to give an opportunity for this to be handled properly. I don't want to be filling in the blanks right now. All right, we have a letter here from Mr. Slavin, dated May 25th, and where he says the desired salary for Ms. Nielsen is $183,750, which would be a base of $175,000, a COLA for fiscal year 2023 of 5%, deferred $13,750, salary and additional benefits would make it $197,500. Comparing that to the former executive director, his departing salary was $215,725 all in. So I personally don't see any problem with those numbers. I'm willing to hear any discussion with respect to that. Seeing no discussion on that, nobody raising a hand, can I have a motion to approve the desired salary as the will be incorporated into the employment agreement?
So moved.
I have a second. I have a second by Mayor Flores. All in favor, all opposed. Do I have one opposed? I have one opposed. So we have 4-1, one opposed, and Marino being the opposition on that one. All right. I am going to make an executive decision unless I'm overruled and ask my vice chair to take charge of the employment agreement and to work with with Paul and with Valerie to get this negotiated and have a final agreement that will be on our desk at the next meeting.
Consider it done.
Okay. Anybody have a problem with that? Okay, good.
Thank you.
All right. We have completed the task that was placed in front of us. Is there anything else that you want to say for the good of the order? All right. We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.